save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in one. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Yo, I go by the name of Dane Jones. I'm with my crew, and we gonna show y'all what we be snacking on. You dig?
Okay.
Hot Cheetos and Takis. Hot Cheetos and Takis. I can't get enough of these hot Cheetos and Takis. Got my fingers stacked.
He got up early to come in.
If y'all, I won't do it again. Not if he's behind the board. I won't do it again.
Snack, snack, snack.
Now, to be fair, these are kids, and they are shouting out hot Cheetos and Takis, which is kind of kid food, but kind of
not talking
kid.
About bricks.
They're not flipping about bricks. They're just fit. Talking about getting red
so
Cheeto
we,
dust on your
how do
fingers.
We go from hot Cheetos and Takis to I was broke at 6 and pushing bricks at 8?
People live different lives, bud.
And you're telling me that there are young kids that are they're buying into this, right? That they
probably more than young kids. Little
it's,
taste.
It's obviously on your radar.
No, because Lance has put it on my radar.
Don't
I didn't
blame
hear,
Lance. Don't
I didn't
blame
hear,
we're here. We're in here.
I something. Didn't hear this song.
You're there
this
by
song.
Yourself.
I didn't hear this song Make until this week. Lance brought this song
it
to
is
the
a
table.
It is a banger, though.
It is not.
It is a banger.
It is not.
Del plays it every day now.
You have children, Lance. You can't.
I know.
You can't co-sign this kind of stuff. You have kids. Because if one of your kids walk in and said, "Dad, I'm tired of being broke. I need to push these bricks."
Oh no, I'm not. I'm not co-signing Lil Tay. I'd rather they talk okay. about hot Cheetos and Takis than pushing bricks at age 8. I'm like, well, if you're gonna push bricks, then help me pay off these homeowners' tax.
I don't,
you know, the taxes
I
for my homeowners.
I don't see Lil Tay differentiating between bricks and hot Cheetos, though. I think they're both a major factor in this person's life. Is Lil Tay a girl or a boy?
Well, these are like 5 kids from Atlanta, I think.
That's what this is right here?
Yeah, this isn't Lil Tay.
I don't even know what this is.
This isn't Lil Tay. These are little kids talking about little kid stuff.
I can't get with that.
Yeah. This is just like, you know what this is? This is
it's basically
Kids Bop, but it's basically like BBD's ABC. Another Bad Creation, but now it's with little kids rapping about hot Cheetos and Takis.
I can get, okay, I thought that was Lil Tay kind of segueing. And I thought it was slang for something, I don't know.
No.
No, it's a music video, and they're holding bags of Cheetos and Takis.
And they're riding bikes around.
Yeah, it's little kids having fun.
Yeah, it's just kids having fun.
Okay, I can get with that. Kids being kids is okay.
It's not Lil Tay or Bad Bobby.
Kids talking about they're broke, I got to make some moves at 6 years old. I just can't get into that. When I was 6 years old, I didn't even know we were poor.
You got to get the video where she said, "This bed cost me a Lamborghini or whatever." It's horrific. Well, I'm one of the problems, I guess.
I hate that stuff,
and then I'm a train wreck that will watch
a clip of the Lil Tay kid, like, smoking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's out there.
No. Mm-hmm. You can take my belt, Dad, if you need to.
Yeah.
Or just call me. I'll come over and beat the brakes off that kid.
Now, I will need to sign a waiver first. You need to give me permission to make sure there's nothing. But once I have permission, there you go. Lil Tay and Bad Bobby. Pretty excited. Cash Me Outside Girl,
I can't.
As she's known.
I can't.
All right, let's get to the Astros. The Astros win again. And this time it was Jose Altuve getting it going again with 4 RBIs, double on the gap, brought home a bunch of runs. And then you're getting boat raced now. If the Astros get 2 runs on you, you're pretty much boat raced. I said this early in the show. I added up the last 5 starts. They've gone 1 full time through the rotation, 1 through 5. This is what it looks like. 37 innings pitched, 16 hits. These are 5 starters, 8.877. 37 innings pitched, 16 hits, 4 earned runs, none in the last 2 starts, 5 walks and 41 strikeouts. So you're going 8-1 on strikeout to walk. You're not even 2-1 on innings pitched to hit. It's even more than that. And then 4 earned runs in 37 innings. This, and by the way, this isn't just a little like a hot streak. this is pretty much what Verlander is always doing, what Gerrit Cole is always doing, what Charlie Morton does, and then Lance McCullers. We already know from for 3 years now that if Lance McCullers is on his A game, he might be the most untouchable of all of these starters, and he is legitimately the fourth or fifth starter in this rotation. Oh, yeah, and then there's Charlie Morton, who was
Uncle Charlie,
the most unstoppable guy of all of the pitchers. I think the best stuff is probably Morton and McCullers when they're on. They have the best stuff at four and five.
So you keep talking about this last trip through the rotation. Charlie Morton's start before that was back at home, and he came out of that game with the same numbers as he always has had through his starts, four starts this year. And he was talking to us about how he really didn't have it. I didn't have the location I wanted. I really wasn't throwing well. He was basically crapping on everything he had that day. And I said, are hitters just, have they not adapted to what you've got? And are they fearful in the box? And I can't remember how I phrased it, but he had them so off balance, so worried about what was coming, it didn't even matter that he didn't have his best stuff that day. And that's been the case for some of these guys through the early portion of the season. But there's four American League pitchers with an ERA under 1.4. Chris Sale and three Astros. There's five pitchers in the American League that have 33 strikeouts or more in their first four starts. And that's Corey Kluber and four Astros.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's insane how good they've been. They're 13-7. And this Mariners team was basically even with the Astros when this four-game series started. They were battling for second place behind the Angels. Astros take three of four from a respectable team, not some riffraff, which the Rangers are. And now they're back neck and neck with the Angels, who got smoked by the Red Sox the last couple of days.
Who hasn't gotten smoked by the
Red Sox? Have. I mean, we're going on and on about the Astros rotation.
They're killing people.
The Red Sox are right there in terms of rotation.
Those two rotations,
and they're 16-2.
Those two rotations are ridiculous. I remember the talk was Yankees and Giancarlo Stanton. Isn't it amazing how, I don't care how good you are, you get in the bright lights of New York with the immediate media attention, fans ready to boo you
boo
in game
you.
Two. Man, you got to
give
be
a reason, and he did.
I know, but at the same time, you got to be a different guy mentally. I remember talking to some chefs. We were talking to some chefs about, I was doing my food show, Southbound Food, a few years back, and a chef was talking about the fact, I think Caswell might have mentioned this. He said, if you go to New York and open up a restaurant, the critics want, because New York is so provincial, that they feel like, you know, you almost have to earn your stripes as a New Yorker. You don't just come in there and you're all of a sudden a great guy. They almost want you to fail. They want to beat you down and they want you to fail. And his whole point is, if you open a restaurant in New York, two things are going to happen. You better be really good. And even if you're really, really good, you better be ready for them to pick at everything you do to try to, because they want to bring you down a level. So you've got to really be mentally tough and you've got to be excellent. And I always thought about that because in sports, I mean, it plays into what I think about Baker Mayfield going to the Jets or Josh Allen going to the Giants or whatever. Because I start thinking, man, are these guys mentally tough enough to handle New York? Because New York is a different – and Giancarlo Stanton's finding that out right now.
Well, here's the thing with New York, right? When you're playing sports or you're any person of notoriety in New York, you don't just get criticized at work. You get criticized 24 hours a day. So Stanton's going to hear it in the stadium. He's also going to hear it in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hear it everywhere he goes,
oh,
in the gym.
They don't care about
the streets. No, there's not, hey, man, you're doing an okay job. Don't worry, it'll turn around. That's like one of a million in New York. Everybody else is like, they're waiting to call you a bum.
Yeah.
They're waiting to say you suck, that you are garbage. That's, you know, that's kind of how they wake up in the morning, hoping that, you know, they get a chance to tell you how terrible you are. You know, in New York, you don't have to prove yourself right. You have to prove everybody else wrong.
Wrong. Yeah, that's exactly right. New York's still going to be there in the end, but you look at the American League with the Astros, Angels with what Ohtani is potentially doing, and Red Sox and Yankees, it's like, woo, man, this is serious in the AL.
And just for the record, New York as a city and as a state despises the Astros right now.
They have to.
They really do. I mean, friends, I have really good friends in New York, and I didn't realize that they were Yankee fans until I was, you know, on social media really standing up for the Astros and stuff. And guys, you know, I'll post something about the Astros and a friend of mine will text and say, yeah, but, you know, 27 rings.
Yeah.
That's okay. It.
Well, here's the thing. They are everything that that the Yankees want to be, which is a young, diverse, fun team with great starting pitching and young superstars like Carlos Correa has the potential to be, I don't want to say the next Jeter, but somewhere between Jeter and A-Rod, and not that A-Rod, more the young A-Rod in Seattle. But that's what he has. And there's no, I guarantee you right now New York is thinking, we got to get, this is a Puerto Rican kid who has the build of an A-Rod and the competitiveness of a Jeter. He's got to be a Yankee. And that's the one team I'm worried about is Correa being a Yankee. That's the one thing I'm worried about. That's why if you want to lock him up now, club control, schmub control, I don't care. Make sure he's never a Yankee, because I know those fans are going to want to grab him.
And the Yankees are really making a run for hating us more than Dallas.
Come on, that bad?
Yeah.
All this from just the last, you know, obviously the last 5 months.
You have to remember the wild card. I was at the wild card game in Yankee Stadium.
It was crazy.
And that game, a lot of the guys I talked to, they were more mad at the Yankees at that game. Because guys were telling me, like, you didn't beat the Yankees. That's not the Yankees.
It's true. Fans, I thought it was. I was there too, Bun. And what I thought was amazing was fans had written that Yankee team off like this.
And that's, you know, I went to that game just being very honest, prepared to have to fight somebody, and I did have to get into an altercation with Big Angry. Somebody kind of shoulder checked Big Angry.
Really?
When we left the game, and so I shoulder checked that guy back. I put him to the ground, but I was expecting a lot more from that, but those guys were much more upset at the team, at their team,
yes,
than they were at our team.
Yeah.
Now, you go back to last year, no. We hate you now.
Yeah.
We hate you now. You guys are Astros, because Astros have been written off for so long,
mm-hmm,
you know, and they just knew it was going to be Yankees-Dodgers. Not Yankees-Dodgers, but they just knew that we were done. And that they were going to go forward. Like, they felt they had their great team, that they were set up and ready to go. And we just crushed it. We crushed their dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't blame the team that time. They had to blame us, like, that we're actually a legitimate, you know, team. We're the champions now. And they hate us for that.
Isn't that the ultimate sign, though, Wex?
Oh, yeah.
When a team hates you, that means you've officially made it.
It's an interesting perspective on it, because, you know, that one game, that wild card game, not even being totally behind their team, Keiko went out and embarrassed them that day. That was a one-sided, game was never in question type of afternoon.
Like 40 minutes of rest.
But this ALCS was, we got this. We got this series.
It
we got these
hearts,
games back in New
their
York.
Hearts out.
And they loved that team. They loved Judge. They loved everything. This is like a magical season. The guy comes in, hits 50 bombs. He's the best thing in baseball. We are baseball again. Everybody is hating us that's supposed to, and we love our guys.
Yeah, we're the Yankees again.
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt.
But Astros.
I know. Simple. That's what's going to really irritate him, because there is a belief that, well, we're New York. Didn't we all recognize Yankees are the best? But they're not. And they've got their Judge, and this was supposed to be their grand. We've got Judge. We've got Stanton. And not only are they behind the Astros, they're behind the Red Sox. And even the Angels are like, I'm sorry, Yankees. You see you down there. Yankee fans have got to be just furious that this is their grand reawakening. And remember, the ESPN's all, who's better? Are the Yankees now better than the Astros? I mean, y'all aren't even better than the Angels.
They're not better than the Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Blue Jays. Please. You're not even better than the Blue Jays.
Nothing's a given for them anymore. And it's really got them. They're upside down in New York right now. I can tell you that. Like, because they don't have anything to really put their hands on out there. It's just things are not happening. Stanton coming in was like, okay, fine. Now we've got whatever leak we had, this plugs it. But obviously it's not clicking yet.
Mm-mm.
Now, I'm not saying it's
going to
click.
Yeah, it's going to at some point.
But it's not going to – nothing's a given on the Yankees team anymore. And that's – I mean, for a Yankees fan, that's got to be ripping your heart out.
Right, well, I hope it keeps on ripping. 8:16 here on the bench. Lance Erline, Adam Wexler, Bun B. You guys can jump in at 713-780-3776. I see you, Chive. Stop texting me and call in. Stop texting. I'm not going to put Bun on the phone on my phone during a break. You want to call? Call and get your – he's like dying to talk to you. You sent a nice little shout out to Chives when he made a donation to Port Arthur. Yeah. So anyway, it's 8:16 here on the bench. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of Rockets playoffs. Rockets take on Minnesota, not until tomorrow. But I want to hit on what's going on all the playoffs. as well. Right now, I want to tell you about Indoor Comfort Specialist. So I go outside this morning. It's 58 degrees. I'm like, whew. I didn't think it was going to be a little chilly this morning. I wasn't ready. I didn't have a jacket on. But that's the thing about Houston's weather. It'll trick you for a little while, and then when you walk outside, there's going to be that day, and it's probably coming within the next month, where we all walk outside and go, oh, no. And it's the foreshadowing of what's to come. And it's humid, and it's hot, and you realize, oh, it's here. There's nothing we can do now. It's here. When we get to that point, you better have your air conditioner working properly. And if it's not working right now the way it should, for you to continue to wait until it really gets brutally hot is a disaster in the making. Call the Indoor Comfort Specialist. Have them come out and give their 22-point check system to let you know everything that's going on with the system. If it's working great, then that's fantastic. I always have them come out in April and look at the system, and they give me the, okay, this and this and this could be issues, or everything's going great, or this absolutely needs to get fixed now. They're very honest with you, and if everything's working great, they tell you. If you have issues, they can fix it for you quickly, or if you need a brand new system, they can do that for you as well so that you stay cool in this Houston heat. Don't wait until it's too late. If you know you have an issue, call 713-666-1101 or go to 975ac.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:22. Had a great dinner last night at La Fisheria. They opened up after they've been wiped out by the hurricane. They're down on Milam. Really good Mexican seafood. You know, you get the grilled octopus, you got ceviches, you got all kinds of stuff. But I think it's cool to see some of these restaurants coming back from I know my friend Brian Caswell with Reef is going to be back soon as well. And we forget about that. That hurricane thing, it wiped out a lot of restaurants downtown were just wiped out. We lost a few pretty good restaurants. Well, La Fisheria came back yesterday, or 3 weeks ago, which I'm really happy about. Highly recommend.
Lamb Barbacoa?
Yep. That came back, right?
I got it.
Or do they? Oh, you're talking about that they have it.
Yeah, they have
it. Oh, they've got just about everything. They got just about everything. No, but there's a restaurant. Korean restaurant. That's what I thought you were referring to. That also I think is coming back as well. But you know what's crazy is our friends in Belize, they've got a house here, McCool Canabar and his wife Kelly, and they've got a family still living in their home here. They also have a resort called the Phoenix in Belize and a couple restaurants there, and he sent me $500 to go buy supplies. Like, a lot of people reached out from around the country and sent money to me to go make supply runs, which I thought was amazing, and that's how I got to know McCool was during the hurricane. He's got a family still living in their home because there's so many people who still aren't even really that close to being back in their homes yet. No. And that was back from August.
There are thousands of people who are still, not in the home that they were living in prior to the hurricane. And they're still not necessarily on their feet. They still haven't got their assistance yet. We're not done. In Houston, we are definitely not done in the recovery.
I want to make sure people remember that. Every once in a while, I just want to throw a little reminder.
And then again, this is a major metropolitan city. So the smaller towns in Houston that were damaged by the storm are in an even less, stable place.
How's your spot?
I was good. I didn't take any damage.
I'm talking about Port Arthur.
Oh, no, they're still.
Is it still?
Yeah, it's still bad.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people still haven't gone back home. I know a lot of people that haven't gone back
yet. It's the same for here. Because even if you have the money to get stuff fixed, all these, the guys who have come in who are doing the sheetrock stuff, rebuilding things, a lot of them have already, you know, 12 to 18 jobs they're working on now. So it just takes time to get everything finished.
And those are the paid jobs. That doesn't count the stuff that they're doing just out of the kindness of their heart.
Exactly.
For other people that they're trying to help. They're trying to do everything they can for everybody they can. And it's just not humanly possible without, you know, a high level of assistance. There are a lot of people that didn't get chosen by FEMA for funds.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just kind of, you know, trying to find their way out of this mess.
You, Wex, you were on, I was worried about you because I
should have been, but I got super lucky.
I was going to say, because you're out in the Meyerland area, and even they said.
That's always crazy.
Well, but they said even spots that never flood in Meyerland got flooded.
And that, obviously, a statement like that applies to so many places here in this town. The reservoirs, obviously, were a huge part of that. But, yeah, areas that took on water regularly during other floods and tax floods, things like that, they still took on water. But now it was just in such an unbelievably extreme amount and so rapidly. It just there's nothing. Again, there's nothing you can do.
Were you close to taking on water?
Absolutely. I mean, I was at work nonstop at Channel 2 for 3.5 days. So that very awful first night, I'm getting calls knowing, well, I can't help. My wife's saying, well, it's getting up to here. And she's moving furniture around and raising stuff up like she can.
God, that must have been terrible for you.
It got all the way up to the door.
Well, you
and
couldn't
just didn't come in. We just got
all the way up
really,
to the
really
door,
lucky. And there's houses. Two houses to the left took on water. Three houses to the right took our street that we're on had to be completely torn apart because they took on water.
You just happened to be crowned a certain way,
just a little bit higher.
That's how it was for my mom. My mom lived on the 3300 block in Port Arthur. The 3200 block houses had water. 3400 block houses had water. Her house.
Just
no
lucky
problem.
To be crowned in the right crown of the of
yeah.
The, of
she
the
she lost power for like 8 hours and started losing it.
Oh, really?
Because it was so hot.
Yeah,
it was so hot. She was like, I can't sleep in there. She's like, I might need to go to a hotel. I'm like, Mom, there's no hotel rooms left in that town.
Yeah,
there was one of the hotels was underwater. So like, where are you gonna go? And then the power came back on like right before bedtime. So she's like, oh, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We have air conditioning. We'll be fine.
You lose your air conditioning during the summer for any amount of time, and you realize the first thing I think of is, man, how did they do it in the 1700s and 1800s? Like, how did my grandparents do it in the farms of Kansas when they're out there working about 15 hours a day, and they come home and, well, then what did you do? Well, we sat around under candlelight and read books. Like, that sounds amazing.
That sounds even hotter, right?
Yeah,
if there's
right.
no air conditioner. And you're sitting under a fire reading. That just sounds worse.
And we went outside to the outhouse and used a bathroom and a hole in the ground and then, you know, brought lamps inside and we took a bath out of a tub, a basin. Like, well,
didn't know any better. That's
well, I wish I was alive back in the 1800s.
I don't.
No.
For obvious reasons.
And then when you did get dressed.
As a black man, for obvious
reasons. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I wish I was 18.
I didn't want to
make that turn here, but.
Like don't worry, Dell's already cooking up some things.
This is the first thing that Dell and I agree on.
I don't know why you're hating on Lil Tay like that. But, yeah. Hey, that whole Dave Chappelle thing when he was talking about if he had a time machine. Like, my white friends, if I met George Washington, they'd be all thrilled. If I met George Washington, I'd be like, run! That's George Washington!
I know.
Couldn't have said that better myself.
The 1920s. Boy, the flappers and the roaring 20s would have been amazing. Did you see all that wool and all that? They were wool hats, wool jackets on top of wool vests and wool shirts.
I would have hated to go to a football game in the roaring 20s.
What about baseball
games? Even if I was white, I would have hated that.
Yes. Right? Everybody. You go to a baseball game. So the Yankees are beginning out here at 2 o'clock. And you're 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it's a Yankee game. And you're in your Jack and say, Pops, the Yankees are playing today. That's right, Jimmy. And he's got, you know, you got your big heavy wool jackets and pants on because that's how you dressed.
Or a suit.
Yeah, the whole suit. You had to go out in a
suit. Your coat. What are you doing?
Yeah. Say, bring your glove too, Jimmy. Let's make sure every part of our body's covered up.
No,
that doesn't sound great. We're going to break it right here, I promise. I promise, though, this time when we come back, we're going to talk about Rockets. Rockets take on the T-Wolves, and I'm to the point, I don't want to be disrespectful to the T-Wolves, but I'm just kind of looking ahead a little bit. I almost said something real disrespectful, and I thought everyone in the city will accuse me of jinxing it, so I don't want to do that.
I'm going to tell a fun story about Carl Anthony when we come back.
All right. It's 8:29 here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:33. It's funny. We're telling stories. Well, I'm asking questions about Bun.
Listening to stories.
Who the coolest, yeah, who the coolest kind of shout-outs or people who are fans of his or UGK or whatever that he never knew about. He said The Rock was one of them.
Yeah, The Rock was
because me
was
and Wex don't have any.
Any shout-outs
I thought it would be really cool for somebody. I just like, maybe one day someone would go, oh, like maybe one day like Carl Anthony Towns will say, hey, man, just want to let you know, I always read all your draft profiles. They're great. Oh, thanks, Kat. I appreciate it. Like, no, that hasn't happened yet.
And Jordan told me thank you once. That was interesting.
MJ?
MJ told me thank you.
Wow. I didn't know if it was him or Jordan Spieth, because if it was Granato here, he would have thought you meant Jordan Spieth.
No.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Jordan Spieth hasn't thanked me for anything.
I want a chef to say, man, big draft follower. Oh, well, thank you so much, Aaron Sanchez. That's really nice of you to say that. I loved you on Chopped as well. Thanks. I get nothing like that. Nobody reads draft profiles that cares to comment on them. Wex, nothing for your
channel
too.
You know what? I'm a big fan of yours.
Oh, Lance. Thanks, Bun. That's nice. That's the highest.
You don't recognize how huge that is, man. That's huge.
How huge it is, but I don't actually believe that he reads all my draft profiles. That's a difference.
He sees them
because he's busy in Washington D.C. trying to change policy. Because I'm looking at your Instagram, I had no idea you were doing this. Like, oh, there's Bun B with John Cornyn.
Never thought I'd hear that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Hey, there's Bun B over there where Sarah Huckabee Sanders has a. I don't know if that's the actual.
No,
room.
That was just a.
Just a podium.
Just a podium in the Capitol.
So, what were you doing in the Capitol building?
So I'm a board member with the Grammys, with the Recording Academy, and there's different legislation that we're trying to get passed now because there's all these different. New ways that music is being released and the way people are taking in music, but the laws haven't caught up with the technology. So there's a lot of different legislation that we're trying to get pushed through so that people can be fairly compensated. One of the big things is that if you, created music like before 72, So if you're it's what we call the Classics Act. People that produced music before 72 aren't getting streaming royalties.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, Sirius Radio, you see the, 70s and 70 and 60s, and all this old music that these people they're using it crazy because they know they don't have to pay anybody. And their big fear was that if the law changed, they would have to go back and retroactively pay everyone from 72 up until now.
They don't want to do that.
Yeah, they don't want to do that. But they're using that as an excuse. And the funny thing is, that doesn't even appear in the legislation. Like that, there is no such thing as retroactive payment for people. But we just wanted to get it on a level playing field. And then there's a lot of people involved in the recording process. So you look at an album, you see the guys on the cover, you go to the concert, you see the guys on stage. But they aren't the only people involved in the process. A lot of times, those guys don't even produce the music or write the songs. They're just the performers. But the people that produce the music and the engineers, they're not getting fair compensation through all these new revenue streams, all these streaming services and platforms and whatnot. So we're just trying to make sure that the technology catches up with the times. And that means I have to sit with John Cornyn.
Yeah, and you... And
Ted Cruz.
Do your thing.
Not necessarily rooms I would want to be in, but it's necessary,
Yeah.
People think I'm there to support these people and whatever because I took pictures with them, but that's... The reality is that if you don't ever talk to people that don't think like you, we'll never get anywhere.
First of all, we've now come to that point in our society where you act like you're on this side or this side and there's no... it's always been different beliefs in how to get things done. There's a Democrat... And there's Republicans, there's different platforms and different ideologies, but somehow that's not really the focus anymore. It's kind of the ancillary stuff that's even more nasty. When the reality is there, we have all the way back to the founding fathers. It's based on working together on certain. Do you watch old musical Hamilton? It's about Alexander Hamilton had certain beliefs, backed off of certain things so that he could get other things.
Absolutely.
That's what the process, that's what politics is. And there are sometimes people say, I don't want politics. Yeah, there's a lot of things about politicians that I don't like. But being able to give and take is a necessary part of a marriage, as we can all attest to, all three
Very
of us,
true.
And four of us, because we're heels in the room. A marriage is about knowing when to fight a fight, when not to, when to do something to see you get something you want. That's a big part of marriage after you've been around a while. And it should be that way with politics, too. It's okay to work with the other side.
Well, the reality is that, you know, when I go in these rooms and speak to these people, my personal politics does not help the situation that I need to be changed. And I'm not just in these rooms representing myself as a person. I'm representing literally all recording artists around the world. Because when the Recording Academy does these things and these laws that we're trying to get pushed and legislation we're trying to get passed, it doesn't just help Grammy members. It literally helps every person that's ever recorded a record, ever. So I'm not just in there trying to get things for myself.
Yeah.
I'm in there trying to fight for everybody. And that's what this is. It's a fight to convince people to think the way that we think and to help us get things done. Now, if it's a person that I don't necessarily agree with that can help me get what I need, you know, so I can make more money and other artists can make more money, I'm going to sit across from that person.
Absolutely.
I'm going to talk to that, but I'm not scared of that person. And it doesn't mean, oh, wow, Ted Cruz helped me get my bill passed. I'm going
to
vote for him.
Do you have to deal with that on you take these pictures, you have to deal with that on social media because everyone's got to comment without knowing any context. You just fire off at the mouth if you're on social media.
Everybody's like, Beto. Like, yeah, I'm probably going to vote for Beto. But that doesn't mean that right now I shouldn't talk to Ted Cruz to get what I need
I'm
done.
I'm trying
for
to get
people.
Something done, people. That's like Daryl Morey. He's trying to get something done in these playoffs. And so he'll construct whatever roster he has to with whoever he needs to. And Daryl Morey doesn't fall in love with any rosters, that's for sure, because he's willing to flip them. But if he's
looking at the end game.
So let me ask you something here. If the end game is about being as good as you can to win a championship, you've done this long enough. You and I like got started about the same time, Wex. At no point have I seen a Rockets roster that didn't have a very noticeable flaw. They had very since Morey's been there.
For sure.
Very noticeable flaw. This is the first one that doesn't have a lot of flaws from depth. To you have multiple ball
handlers.
You've
never been able to say, look, if the Rockets are at their best, they're going to win. And now you can't. And that includes Golden State. I'm not saying they're guaranteed to beat a team as good as Golden State, whereas I would say that about every other team in the West. I think Toronto's a little bit better than people are giving them credit for. So maybe when that comes along, we'll get to that. But that's what this Rockets team has never been able to produce since James has been there, really, in the 20-plus years. Since they've won the title, there's always something missing, a piece missing, or teams that you knew were just flat out better than them. And while I'm fine with Golden State being called the favorite and a perfectly healthy Curry, Durant, Thompson, Green-led team being called better than Houston, it's totally legitimate. You know, debate can be fine. They're at that level. They've earned that right, and they've outplayed every other team along that road for several years.
Yeah.
But when the Rockets are cooking, they'll beat them. And if that's the type of basketball they end up, or if they end up playing against that Golden State team, the Rockets will advance.
Chris just asks, would you rather be the Blazers or the Wolves? Because last night was a come to Jesus meeting and accept this sweep for the Blazers. The Pellies are just, they're a little hot right now, and they're about to whack the Blazers. The Wolves, I think the Wolves are going to have to make a change, fundamental change in how they play basketball. But
you know who they need to bring in?
Who?
Someone who knows math. Someone who knows that 3 points is more than 2 points. And I know I feel like I sound like a broken record. If you're following me on Twitter or just listening to wherever I am
it's true.
Sports Sunday, the beginning of game two should have been an embarrassment to Timberwolves management. The Rockets put out a memo during the first 10 minutes that said, please blow us out. We suck tonight. We don't have it. You've got game two. It's all for the taking. And Minnesota refused. They said, no, we will wait until you get it together. We're going to keep taking bad two-pointers. Every time we get the ball outside the three-point line, we're going to give it. We're not going to take that open shot.
We're going to try to take a 20-footer.
We're going
to
throw up wild shots. We're going to keep turning it over, too, unforced, because we don't want it. We want you to get what you deserve. You're out on your home floor. The fans are here. Mm-hmm. Some of them even put their T-shirts on, not all of them. Mm-hmm. And we want you guys to get it together. They just don't understand. Like, they were never going to blow the Rockets out of a game. The Rockets they were bad.
They're getting
to start
blown
that
out
game.
All the time by the Rockets. You know why? Because the T-Wolves, no matter how they look on paper, it's to the point now where the math is just the analytics runs the NBA. Everyone just now realizes we don't have to shoot it at a great clip from three. Let's get 3-point shooters. and you eventually will get boat raced because Minnesota can't.
If you they're can't not shoot shooting threes, threes, you can't win. It's you
simple. Just it just turns into this. Like, you've got to shoot so much better than the opposition and play defense so much better, and they don't. That's why, to me, they really don't have a chance in this series. The Rockets haven't played very good basketball the first two games. They beat them by 20 last game. They scored 82. The T-Wolves did in the last one. I mean, it's so the Rockets, I feel like, are going to move on. It's a matter of how, you know, can you win quick and get some rest? I don't even feel like you need to even talk about rest. There's so much time in between games now. Should we even be talking about rest for the Rockets? They get plenty between games.
No, I mean, they get like 2 days, almost 3 days off.
Yeah, the series is a week old. They've played two games.
Yeah.
They've had 2 days off in between each games one and game two, and now games two and game three, and still have, obviously, they're going to practice today, and then they'll head to Minnesota for tomorrow's game three. They've had plenty of time, but what it is doing, all this time Ryan Anderson's been hurt, he's only missed two games. All this time Bob Mute's been hurt, he's only missed two games. So the likelihood is both of those players will be able to play roles in the second series at some point. Probably Anderson's ready to go before this series is over. And Bob Mute has indicated, as has the team, this just wasn't as serious as the first go-round. The only concern is the likelihood that it happens again is pretty high. If you saw how it happened this last time, he went up and dunked the ball, got hit on the shoulder, and hit the rim, you know, when his follow-through, and out it came.
Yep.
Out it popped, and it could very easily happen again.
Yeah.
Which fake injury can we attribute during practice to keep Ryan Anderson out of any role?
It's not a fake injury. It's real.
I'm not saying he has a fake injury now. Which fake injury can we give him to keep him out of any role?
Sinus infection?
It's anything.
Because sinus infection can throw your equilibrium off,
and maybe just keep him out of the playoffs. Hey, he's got a sinus infection.
So
can't
he
get
got
it.
Vertigo somehow while you we were could. Just talking?
You could.
Okay.
Vertigo, vitiligo. I don't know. Yeah. Any of the Vs.
Any of the Vs. You don't want Vs.
So can I tell my KAT story?
Yeah.
So I went to church Saturday night, because I was like, am I going to go Saturday night or Sunday morning? I made the choice to go on Saturday night to Lakewood to hear John Gray preach, and Carl Anthony was at church.
Really?
On Saturday night. And I thought, well, that's it for us. He's in here praying in the old Summit building to take us out. I'm like, that's it. God's on his side, and I hate to say it, but God's on our side.
Yep. He's not going to be able to. He just said, sorry, until you start shooting threes, there's nothing I can do.
Well,
talk to your coach.
Until you stop running off screens to shoot threes, there's nothing I can do.
Don't be running to the corner so much. Post somebody up. The only post that we're seeing is Taj Gibson on switches. I'm like, Carl Anthony, you know you're like a big-time post player, right? I know you got range and all that stuff, but you're not KG. And even KG understood there was a time to play big, and he would do it against smaller opponents. So.
And he's supposed to be 7 feet, right?
Yeah.
He's the smallest 7-footer. Like, he did, like, standing next to him, like, when you saw Shaq looked huge.
Yeah.
You know, you saw Manute and these guys looked huge. He just didn't look tall. Like, I think a lot of it's his hair.
Yeah, I don't think he's.
I think the hair attributes for at least 3-4 inches. I don't think he's.
He's not a 7-footer.
He's a thicker guy, but I also think that brings him down a little bit because he's a bigger guy. You know, I'm just thinking back to, as you're saying this, we had Wiggins, Butler, and Kat all talking to us one after the other at their practice facility earlier this week. And now that you say that, there just didn't seem a whole lot. You know, Jimmy Butler's got a little lift up top as well. So maybe he's a little
Wiggins
taller than
Wiggins is actually like 6'9", too, isn't he?
He's bigger than television.
Right. Yeah.
He's much taller than television gives him credit for it, to be honest.
That's what I thought.
But Carl Towns is actually the opposite. He's much smaller than TV kind of.
You didn't see a big difference, Wex?
Not a huge difference. No, not at all. I think Towns is going to have a pretty large game
in game three.
Yeah. But that's what he did all regular season against the Rockets. He was better against Houston than he was against most teams. He averaged more against them, both, you know, scoring and rebounding than he did against.
Because Clint Capela's getting ready to get that money.
But it just doesn't matter. Let him get his. Let him get two after two after two. It's not. They lost by 20 points a night when they played him in the regular
Rockets,
season.
As a team, the Rockets haven't even shot well.
They've
been, either.
No,
not even shot well. They've shot very, very poorly. Like, not just not right. Okay. Badly.
No, I remember like in game two, I think at one point it was like, man, the Timberwolves are only shooting like 34%. They're playing terrible. And then the other guy was like, yeah, but the Rockets are only shooting 38%.
I know.
And they're playing amazing right now.
At one point it was 17% for the Rockets. It was like, wow.
Is that what the first quarter of game two?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And then really it's 23-18. I'm like, no. They can't extend their lead at all. Again, a little credit to the Rockets' defense, but a lot of it, I think, is just the philosophical issue.
They're not ready for this, I don't think.
I think that's true, too.
They're not ready for
this. They're not. Well, I want to get to not a conspiracy theory, but I'm going to bring something up coming up in a second about the Spurs that I think could be an interesting concept moving forward, a thought about two legends that I think have interesting paths ahead, one in football and one in basketball. We'll do that here in a second. And Longhorn Keith, we see you. We'll get to your Rockets call as well. It's 8:48. I want to say about Bill Advisor. I don't care who you are in this room right now listening or who is out there, Bill Advisor is for you. I've never seen a company as good at making you money right away. They take all of your bills, cell phone, cable, phone, home phone. They take your home insurance, your auto insurance, your energy bill, all of them, and they will scan and scour them. They know what the right rates are supposed to be, and then they will get on the phone and negotiate your rates back down to new customer rates. And the savings are so substantial. Now, there have been people who have saved over $3,000 in a single year. I saved over $2,000 the first year. This year, I've saved $1,400 between homeowners, auto, and then internet is what they've been working on for me so far this year. But that's what they do. It's $12.99 a month, and they keep working for you throughout the year. It's like having your app on in the background. They're in the background, always looking at your bills to see when they can get you a savings, when a new deal breaks for customers. So they try to get you whatever new deals come out there as well. You couldn't do this for yourself. You A, don't have the time, and B, you don't know how. And C, you don't know how to get to customer retention, which is way better than customer support. So make sure that you get your phone ready, and all you have to do is text GO to 232323, and they will get started right away. 232323, text GO, and BillAdvisor.com will get you started, and they'll negotiate your bill for you, BillAdvisor.com.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Tony Desiri.
Tune into The Usual Suspects with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack starting at 1 on ESPN 97.5. The Astros in Chicago tonight to start a series with the White Sox. Houston coming off a 9-2 win Thursday against Seattle, taking 3 of 4 in that series, getting home runs from Josh Reddick and Max Stassi. Jose Altuve had a 3-run double. He finished with 4 RBIs. Evan Gattis and Carlos Correa also driving in runs. Charlie Morton goes to 3-0, tossing 7 scoreless innings. He struck out 8. The Rockets are in Minnesota for both games 3 and 4 of their playoff series against the Timberwolves. Game 3 is Saturday, with Houston up 2 games to none. The NFL releasing their schedules on Thursday. Houston opening up the regular season on the road to face the Patriots on September 9th. The Texans will play a Monday night game in Week 12 against Tennessee and a Thursday night game in Week 8 against the Miami Dolphins. I'm Tony Desiri, ESPN 97.5.
When it comes to the success of your small business, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? It may not sound like a lot of money, but it's enough to turn 500 strangers into 500 connections. All it takes is the right business card. Go to Vistaprint.com today, and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. You heard right, 500 business cards for $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card, but don't let the price fool you. Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and paper stocks, so your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed every time for any reason. You'll find dozens of designs that are just right for your business at Vistaprint, and you can add your logo and contact information with just a few clicks. It's never been easier to turn strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint and start today, because this offer won't last forever. Get your 500 business cards for just $9.99 at Vistaprint.com. Use promo code 999 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 999.
The time has come. Join us for the 15th anniversary of the Insperity Invitational presented by United Healthcare at the Woodlands, April 30th through May the 6th. Enjoy free admission all week, courtesy of Insperity, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, and Wood Forest National Bank. And see John Daly defend his title against a field that includes Fred Couples, Colin Montgomery, Mark O'Meara, Jeff Backert, and Bernhard Langer. For more information, visit InsperityInvitational.com. Be there.
Cracked walls, sticking doors, and windows may be signs of foundation problems. Don't wait for those problems to worsen. Call Euratech for foundation repair today at 281-299-0062. Serving Houston for 17 years with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Euratech is Houston's premier foundation repair company by focusing on superior customer service and innovative technology. Call for a free estimate at 281-299-0062 or visit EuratechGulfCoast.com. That's U-R-E-T-E. EK.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here's Lance Zierlein and Bun B and Adam Wexler. Raheel will be coming up in just a little bit. Although I don't know if we have a mic for Raheel. Just because, is that one work yet, Dell? It just looks like it works. But it doesn't work, but it just looks like it.
It's very professional looking. You guys have made some modifications here in studio.
This is about the first time we were going to have the four-man crew just sitting here on our sports desk. No? Look at Raheel's trying to get up. That's what Indy Kalu used to always do that. He'd always tell us, stretch, go longer. And Greg Cook wanted to get on the air right away. And Indy's like, keep going. Keep going.
They weren't ready to get some trench warfare going just yet?
Not that. Greg was. Indy's like ready to just like, let's just eat into our clock. I'm kind of like that too. So did you guys get your championship rings from Jim Crane yet?
No.
Because
I haven't got a replica or anything.
Most of the city has a ring now, I've noticed. He's given away so many rings to people. And it's like, Mattress Matt gets a ring. You're going to get a ring. That I think Akeem Olajuwon may have gotten a ring the other day for the Astros championship. Everybody's
Tillman a ring at the Tillman game got a the ring. Other night.
Tillman got a ring. The owner of the Astros got a ring. Of course, he was in the Diamond Club. So
that was quite a celebrity sighting event that night that he gave him the ring. When you had Travis Scott, Deshaun sitting to his left, Tillman and his family. You had the Verlanders were there.
The Verlanders,
Kate Upton, if you will.
There's one other one. Who am I missing? Was that it?
Major was there. He took the
Major
first shot.
Major White was to the right of them.
And then the Cranes were next to him.
So Major hit his shot. You've shot the first shot before.
Yeah, I took the first shot.
How nerve-wracking is it? So my buddy Eric Layden had a first shot, and he made his. He banked it off the back. He said, those nerves, and Eric can play a little bit, but he said, man, those nerves. He said, you get a little jacked up.
Well, I didn't get to practice. That was my whole thing. Was like,
you can get babe,
we
got
to get all? We got to get there early and practice. No, because I'm married and I took my wife to the game, so I absolutely did not get there on time. I definitely didn't get there early. I just kind of walked in like, here's your seat, here's the ball. And it was funny because Tillman wasn't even gonna. He said he wasn't even. You know, usually he doesn't walk out and hand the ball to everybody. He has people that he picks, and he didn't know I was shooting that night. And someone was finna bring me the ball, and he's like, oh, that's Bun B, give me that ball.
Oh, really? Is that what he did?
Yeah, Tillman's a funny guy. I've actually been on the show, The Billion Dollar Buyer. They had an episode about moonshine.
Did you?
Yeah, so he called me and Slim
Moonshine's
Thug.
A big deal, by
he
the way.
He called me and Slim Thug and a couple of guys up to try the moonshine earlier.
Whose moonshine was that? Whatever company he was looking
at? Yeah, he was looking at a company, looking to put the moonshine in the casinos.
And what was
casinos.
It like?
It was moonshine.
Strong?
Yeah, to say the least.
Do you do
I mean, not,
with it?
Not mason jar with a peach at the bottom strong, but strong enough.
Yeah, it's moonshine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hooch.
It's you know, right under Everclear and all that kind of stuff.
Everclear. When you heard about the Everclear getting poured in something at a college party, it was like...
For us, it was watermelon.
What's because... Oh, yeah, you soak it.
Yeah. So we would, you know, we'd get the watermelon Everclear and we cut a little hole.
And then you pour it in there.
And pour the Everclear in there and then we'd eat the watermelon.
That's like Jell-O. It's like Jell-O shots, but with, I think, more health benefits.
It's still watermelon.
Yeah, it's a water-based fruit. I mean, it's still, and it's probably diet. That's a good for a diet too. Because
still induces projectile vomit. Still,
no, it doesn't matter what it's Everclear.
There's no way around that.
Do you is Clint Capela going to get paid by the Rockets? Yep. Do they have any choice but to
listen to what Chris Paul said after Game One about how say? Well, when everyone's talking about Chris and James all the time, and he was kind of recollecting that number when the three of them play together, how unbeatable they are, and
so
what
it's
a great
now 43-3.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
43-3 now.
Or 2-0.
Well, they're undefeated when Clint scores more than 20.
They're undefeated this year.
They're undefeated when Clint Capela scores more than 20 points.
Wow.
That means when Clint's getting – that means we're running on all cylinders at this point. When Clint's active and engaged and is going to the bucket like that, you know, it's we're there.
But, man, just thinking about this, getting – I mean, 43-3 when three guys are. The other day when they said that on the broadcast, I started thinking, and that's legitimately best record in NBA history type.
Right.
And we're talking 46 games, so it's not a small sample size.
That's what makes it worthwhile statistically to actually put some value in it. And it, you know, watching them play, it's pretty easy to see why.
But the argument, Wex, would be what Clint Capela does is catch lobs and dunk it. Now he's blocking a few more shots. I'm just going to give you the counter argument. And Daryl Morey doesn't fall in love with people, generally speaking. He understands value. The counter argument would be you can't find a rangy 6'11", long, big, who can block shots, run the floor, and catch lobs and dunk. Now, once again, I love Clint Capela. I'm just giving you the counter argument would be that an analytics guy would tell you is you can find those physical traits in a player in any other draft. Why are you going to pay that much money?
For example, like say Bismack Biyombo,
yeah,
who is a joke compared to Clint Capela.
Well, you're picking.
I'm picking. You just described him to a T.
Yeah, but I.
It's not as easy as Capella's making it look. It's not as easy as everyone thinks it is to do what he does. He's outrunning guys.
Yep.
Beating them down the floor. Which
his
he
hands
did in game.
Are really good, by the way.
And he played on the same team with the same player as Dwight Howard. And he's much better than Dwight Howard at doing the things this
Dwight
team wants him to do.
Dwight was a low post. Yeah, Dwight was an old school kind of guy.
He's not as good at the pick
and
roll.
Is he different?
Just flat out.
Did Kelvin Cato do the same stuff with Steve?
No, because he wasn't as good at it.
Catch and dunk I'm talking about. Well, Steve wasn't as good as James Harden either.
DeAndre Jordan wasn't as good at it with Chris Paul in L.A. as Clint Capela is at it in Houston with Chris Paul.
He was pretty skippy, though. He wasn't as good off the screen and roll. I would agree with you.
He's better. He's way better than people even give him credit for because he's third or fourth best player on this team.
And you can see the steady incline in play.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, he's literally getting better every year. The only detriment to him is that he's not a little bit thicker.
Yeah.
But at the end, we talked about earlier, thicker might make him slower. You know, being bigger might actually
hurt
him.
They're
tailor-made to his physical attributes.
Absolutely.
And he's taking advantage of it as they are. And that's why the team, the staff, the basketball people, and the developmental people, and clearly the players themselves, so much credit goes to all these guys for recognizing all this stuff. This, again, has to do with being better and smarter than the other 31 teams at what they're trying to do.
But signing him will proclaim – well, we got to break it. We got to break it now. Let me go 901. We got to break it right here because – way behind, but I do want to get into this more because I want to talk about whether or not this precludes the Rockets from considering anything else. Right now, I want to tell you about my friends over at Prime Social. So I got a text yesterday from Steve over at Prime Social, and he's one of the guys who handles he's on the floor and makes sure everything's running smoothly. Prime Social is your spot for poker, but let's say that you've heard me talk about it a lot, and you're like, yeah, I'm just a little intimidated because I play a little, but I don't play a lot. I'd love to know more. I'd love to start playing more. Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that because on this is going to be the Break 'em In brunch. This is April 22nd. This is coming up this Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. Let me tell you what they're going to do. For beginners or, you know, in the neighborhood of beginners, they want you to come learn the poker basics and socialize with mimosas, Bloody Marys, and brunch. They're going to offer stress-free crash course of poker basics, including hand hierarchy, which hand's the best, game rules, variations, betting structures, player etiquette, interaction with dealers, floor staff, After you've learned the ropes, you'll be playing a $2 and $4 limit hold'em game to put your new skills to the test. This event is going to take place in their VIP room. So it's right there in a beautiful VIP room. And the tickets are $150. But here's what you get for your $150. You're going to get a membership fee, a daily fee, mimosas, Bloody Marys, brunch, and $40 of chips to play so that you can see how it works. So this is a great chance for men, women, whoever, to come out and learn the basics of poker with Bloody Marys and mimosas and a brunch. It's $150, but that includes everything. And that is this Sunday at Prime Social from 2 to 4. So make sure that you check that into your calendar and get out there to Prime Social. For more information, go to primesocialtx.com, 7801 Westheimer.
I don't think you guys really care what I say, just like I don't really care what you say.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
A gift.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save.